أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome back to Living the Quran through the Living Quran. In this series, we've been going over chapter number 56, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the chapter known as the chapter of the great event. In our previous discussion, we were looking at verses number 27 through to verse number 40, under the theme of those living in bliss and comfort and ease in the world to come, obviously. And in that previous discussion, we looked at some of the key words that God has used in this passage. And as we mentioned, that it's important to reflect and to understand those key words before we can understand the verses and the section on a whole, because obviously each word makes up a very vast area of understanding of the Quran. We went over some of those keywords, and in our discussion today, we want to continue and look at the remainder of this passage of verses 27 to 40, and then conclude with some takeaway messages, some points for us to read and reflect upon, and hopefully try to implement in our day-to-day life as much as possible. Continuing on with the commentary as authored by Sheikh Mohsen Qiraati in his Tafsir An-Nur, he mentions the following. He says that those that are blessed, also known as Ashab al-Yameen, are the same people who had been spoken about in verse number 8 of this surah, and were referred to as Ashabul Maymana. Seeing as how on the day of resurrection, our book of actions of the righteous doers will be given to them in their right hand, and will be considered as the people of blessings and happiness, it is for this reason that they are called the Ashab al-Yameen, literally, the people of the right hand, again, because they were given their book of actions, the book of their good actions in their right hand. We read in the traditions that the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, he said to his wife, Umm Salama, the following statement that, on the resurrection, Allah, God, will transform the old, gray-haired, believing women into young, beautiful ladies. And obviously this was in relation to the verses which we reviewed, which spoke about one of the pleasures that await the believers in paradise, that is to have these beautiful, untouched brides as their spouses and companions in the world to come. Now, at the conclusion of the discussion on the rewards which were promised to the ones in close proximity, those who were referred to as al-muqarrabun, it was mentioned, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, a reward because of your righteous actions. Thus, all of their rewards and blessings are due to their actions while they lived in the transient world. However, at the conclusion of the verses that we are currently reviewing, after speaking about all of the blessings which have been promised for the people known as Ashab al-Yameen, we do not see the phrase, a reward because of your actions, for example. And therefore, as we can conclude, it can be said that the blessings given to this group under discussion are actually a grace from the divine, from God, given to them. We have to appreciate that the worldly blessings are accompanied by some sort of faults. Every blessing that we have in this world has some shortcoming, some deficiency to it. However, in paradise, as we have seen in this passage, the blessings of paradise have no flaws or any faults to them. And so, for example, in this world, plants have thorns and prickles. However, the plants in paradise do not have this. And that is why God uses the word makhdood. Point number two is that in this world, when we find shade under a tree, for example, it is not permanent. However, in paradise, the shade of the trees is perpetual. And therefore, God says, dhillun mamdood. Point number three, that in this world, fruits are either rare or they are seasonal. Some fruits are not available all year round. They're only available at a specific time in the year. However, in the afterlife, the fruits are plentiful and perpetual and are easy to get without any exertion. And that's therefore God uses the word kathira, that they are plentiful. And he also says, la maqtu'atun wa la mamnu'a. Again, there will be no lack of the fruit. There are no seasonal fruits in paradise, and nor is anything forbidden for the believers on that realm. And point number four is that one's spouse in this world is something a person who is not necessarily compatible with their significant other. So sometimes you see that a man and a woman are married, but they're not really compatible in many different ways. They may share some commonalities, but they're not compatible in every aspect of their marital life. However, in paradise, the spouses are fully compatible with each other in all ways. And this is referred to in this passage where God says, in using the word atraban, you know, sometimes the love for one spouse is just not there in this world. However, in paradise, the spouses will all love one another. And this is referred to in this passage with the word urban. Now, sometimes in this world, one's spouse is a widow and all alone. You know, they lose their husband or they lose their wife in many different ways. However, in paradise, God uses the word abkaran, that everyone will be like this, meaning that they will all have their spouse. There will be nobody who is single, who is not married, who will be without a spouse. And in the world of the resurrection, our spouses will be of a new creation altogether. And therefore, God says, "Ansha'anahunna insha'a," that our spouses will be a completely new and unique creation that we have never experienced before. Therefore, because of the fact that the prophets of the past were numerous in number, their successors, the Awsi'a, were also in large numbers. And therefore, when speaking about the number of those who were referred to as Al-Muqarrabin, we read that God says that a large party of them will hail from the early believers, while a few of them will hail from the latter ones. Thus, those who are considered as the Muqarrabin, the ones in the closest, or the, you know, the ones who are in the second category that we're looking at, they will be more from the previous generations compared to the Al-Muqarrabin from the current nation of Islam, from the current generation of believers. Now, let us conclude with some takeaway messages, some points to reflect upon. Obviously, there are much more points that are available. We'll just cover three of them in our conclusion. Point number one to reflect upon in this passage is that paradise and the blessings of paradise, they have been created from time immemorial and are ready to be enjoyed right now. Obviously, they are at a different level, a realm that we are not able to comprehend and be aware of, but they are ready and waiting for us to make use of those blessings. Point number two, which is that this world is never devoid of righteous individuals. No matter how corrupt we look at society to be, how much sins and evil and iniquity, there are always righteous individuals around us. And point number three to conclude with for this discussion is that the ways to reach to felicity and to proximity to God have always been there for all of humanity. From the very first day that human beings stepped on this earth until the end of time, till the last human being leaves this earth, there will always be ways for humanity to attain that proximity to God, to attain happiness in this world, to attain spiritual proximity that will allow them to gain in the world to come. We conclude and we ask God to allow us to be of those who can be in the company of the righteous and in the gardens of bliss and of perpetuity. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.